Welcome to the call on the evolution of your resolutions with Ayurveda. And I'm really excited to kind of share this. It was fun to craft this call and I just kind of made it up, obviously, out of something that I wanted to kind of experiment with for myself and then to share with anyone that felt called to join in the call or listen to the recording. And so what I basically wanted to do is just like drop in and create some time to kind of inquire within about what we want to set, where our intentions come from, like what's wanting to like emerge from us, from like the different points within our being, our different layers of being, and have like a more clear and kind of authentic resolution or intention or goal or dream or desire, whatever word you want to use, whatever that is that like wants to be formed with you and through you. And from that place of like centeredness, holding on to that as you maintain the kind of structure and the action steps that it takes to kind of to actualize that dream or desire that you hold that's coming from your heart or, you know, your higher intellect or your intuition or wherever it is. And then what these action steps can look like, just kind of some supportive material that I have for you guys to basically make it happen, to manifest these dreams in a very, like, real and tangible way. And so, actually, before we dive into that, I'm just going to introduce myself for any of you that don't know me. My name is Anna Welly, and I'm an Ayurveda practitioner and a Reiki practitioner. And I started experimenting and studying Ayurveda on my own about 7 or 8 years ago, and then I studied formally with Kerala Ayurveda Academy, originating from a university and hospital system in Kerala, India, and studied the clinical kind of aspect of Ayurveda and did an internship at the hospital in India a couple of years ago. And from there, I've been working more deeply and closely with Kate Stillman from yogahealer.com, and I work as a mentor in her Ayurveda program called Living Ayurveda, which is more evolutionary and kind of a revolutionary Western expression of where Ayurveda can be today, especially with working with our local herbs and plants and kind of more modern lifestyle, like what the more modern yogini has been evolving into, which is super fun. And there's about 75 mostly women in that course that have been really inspirational to work with. And I also have a pretty deep spiritual practice. I have found a lot of guidance under Siri Muji, my guru from Portugal. Many of you might know him. And then also teachings from Eckhart Tolle and Mary Magdalene. And so that's kind of the essence of the different things that I'm just bringing in to you through my expression in this call and in my work. So thank you for being here. I really, really love doing these. So let's just dive into it. What I would like to do is go into this inquiry practice, this kind of like little meditation or just like fun exercise. So if you have a pen and a piece of paper, that can be handy. That will be really helpful. If you don't or if you're driving, that's totally fine, but you'll just maybe make notes to yourself to kind of come back to later after the call. You want to also like close your door or limit any distractions that might sway you from going deeper into your center. You can close the door, kind of limit the distractions now. And then take a meditative posture. So sit tall in your seat and uncross your legs and place your feet flat on the floor if you're sitting in a chair. And then if you're seated on the floor, you can take lotus pose or easy pose. And just ground yourself into your base, into your butt, into your root chakra. Feel yourself grounded down. And then stretch your spine tall and your crown chakra towards the sky. And let's just take a few deep breaths together. Take some big exhales and let go of any tension or residual energy that you might be holding on to. Breathe in the fresh life force prana. Revitalize your senses. Exhale and release any tension or anything you need to let go of. All right, we're going to journey into our five different koshas, our five sheaths or layers of ourselves. And we're going to start from the most dense aspect of our being, which is our physical body. So bring your attention into your physical body, into your Anamaya Kosha. In this moment, or in the bigger picture, what does your physical body desire? What does your physical body want, or what is it craving to feel? And this, you can use your own words. That might be strength or groundedness. It might be fluidity or more density. You might want to feel deeply rested, energized. You might want to feel light. You might want to feel centered. So what does your physical body want? Can you feel this in the cells and the tissues of your body? What is the visceral sense of this feeling or this desire, this want in your physical tissue? Now, how can you describe this physical sensation of what your Anamaya Kosha, your physical body, wants? And here you can write this down of anything that comes to you in words, in sensations, in colors, if you want to draw a picture, to put that on your piece of paper. Next, we're going to move into our energy body, the Pranamaya Kosha. So take a few deep breaths again. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale when it feels good to you, releasing, moving your awareness back inside. And now slowly shift your attention with your breath into the more subtle layer of your energy field. This is the place where your chakras, your marmas, your nadis, your aura is present. And from this place, what is your vibrational field communicating to you? How does it feel? What does your energy body desire for your change, your growth, and your transformation? How would you like your energy to feel? How can your energy field be heightened or improved? From this place of feeling into and communicating with your vibrational fields, What insights are you gaining? Can you scan this field or your frequency and allow anything that needs to come forward? Whatever it is that you're experiencing, whatever it is that wants to be revealed, or if you're tapping into a certain desire or feeling that you want to step forward into, whatever is there, let it magnify. And I invite you to write this down on your piece of paper. All right, next we're going to move into the mental body. So I'll take a few breaths again. Close your eyes if it's available to you. If you're driving your car, obviously you're not going to. And so just take a few breaths and turn your attention inward again. We're going to shift into our mental and emotional body, our Manomaya Kosha. Take a few deep breaths. And you can even presence into the space in your head if you want. Into your brain, but also Ayurvedically speaking, our mind is pervasive throughout all of our being. So your mind is everywhere. So what is here and present for you in your mind, in your thoughts, and kind of your sensory input in your data processing? Are there any specific repeated thoughts or thought patterns or habit patterns that are coming up for you in this moment? Anything that comes to mind of what's just regularly present for you, good or bad? So are these thoughts or are these patterns or repetitive kind of ways of experiencing what's around you, are these thoughts serving you? And if so, how? And if they're not, how might you like to change them? What does this new or improved thought, or way of thinking, or pattern look or feel like? Can you refine or pinpoint the words, feelings, or sensation of what you would like it to become? And so I invite you to write down whatever is coming up for you. And as you're ready, then we will move into a fourth layer of our being, our intuitive body, the Dhyanamaya Kosha. So you can close your eyes again and move your attention inward and take a few deep breaths to move into this more subtle and kind of etheric place within you that pervades through all of you. And now we're shifting into this intuitive place within, the kind of place of intelligence or your higher self, or your deeper conscience, whatever kind of way you want to perceive it. And from this place, in this Jhyanamaya Kosha, from your higher intelligence and your deeper intuition, what would like to be revealed to you? What message does your higher self have for you? Where or what are you being guided to? Or what would like to move through you? Is there something here that would like to be released? Or is there something specifically that wants to emerge? And this is a place to access a lot of creativity and higher insights and clarity, inspiration. So intuitively, what do you feel is a core desire living within you and your heart ready to be manifested in 2016 and beyond? And from this place, I invite you to write down anything that has come to you. So you can write down words or sensations, feelings, draw a picture. If you are using colored pencils or crayons, you can just fill in colors, whatever is your way. And now lastly, we're going to move into our most subtle and all-pervading layers of our being, into our bliss body, the Anandamaya Kosha. So again, I'll turn your attention and your focus inward and take a few deep breaths at your pace. And then bring your attention into the space within your heart. Let your awareness rest in your center. And from this place, perhaps you feel a sense of expansiveness or love, maybe peace, calm, joy. Whatever it is for you, I just invite you to take a couple of moments to be with it and just rest in that space in your heart. From this place in the center of your being that expands outward far beyond your physical body, is there any limitation upon you? And does this feeling or experience you have from your heart support you in all that you desire to become? Does it energize you, balance you? Does it give you a sense of release, inspiration, joy? Does it center you? Tap into the feeling that's available to you within your center, within yourself, and expand upon that. Let it grow. And whatever comes down, whatever comes to you in the space, whatever feelings you have or encouragement towards your higher dreams and goals or just in your present sense of being, I invite you to write that down on your piece of paper. So now resting as a whole in your complete self, all layers of being, is there any one or two couple of messages or specific feelings or desires or sensations that have more energy and power than the rest? And I invite you to jot that down or circle them, highlight them, underline them, wherever you feel like you really got a shot of Shakti. I want to emphasize that or write it out for yourself right now while we're in this space together. And then, just for the consideration of time, I'm going to invite you to come back to that later on your own time. And these kind of notes that you created as you went in to access these different layers of yourself, and looking at whatever arose through this inquiry practice for you to go deeper if necessary and to kind of distill and refine what your core desires and dreams and visions are based off of what arose just within this last 20 minutes. And as you're kind of distilling them and refining them, get as specific and clear and absolute as you can. And then from there, write down your core goals, dreams, desires, or resolutions as an intention. And I recommend doing an intention based off of basically something that you can begin living into from this very moment. Whereas the difference of it being a goal would be something that is distant and separate from you. A goal is something that you would like work towards obtaining, whereas an intention is something that you can access as almost immediately. So like a goal might be to run a marathon, where an intention is to become a runner, and a runner is someone who you are. And you both can have the same action steps as going running or training for a marathon, but as a runner becomes more a part of your identity, and so your intention can be part of your identity and be locked into all the different layers or specifically a couple layers of your being, of yourself, that you want to stay in attunement and alignment with. And so you can also repeatedly fall back into that space of what you were experiencing in your Anandamaya Kosha, your bliss body, to support or encourage or inspire you for your higher aspirations of yourself. And so that I'll invite you to work on later within the next day or two. So then what I also want to touch upon is all the different ways that we can move into our intention or goal, desire, or dream through the different practices of yoga, health coaching, and Ayurveda. But first I want to present all of the challenge and the difficulty that can come up with making these New Year's resolutions and whether they succeed or not succeed. So making these things happen can kind of be like the tricky part. So basically what I think can potentially sabotage us is like there's a lot of different things for different people, and it can be a variety of things for one person. But for instance, if you've made any resolutions in the past and they haven't been fulfilled, if you've like gave up on them or you forgot about them or you got sidetracked or they were too difficult or whatever, you could actually be experiencing some sort of like distrust within yourself that you don't trust your ability to make a new resolution and live through it. Or there could even be some sort of like emotional like residue or ama, as we say in Ayurveda, this kind of a little bit of something could be like scarred in your emotional body that prevents you from really feeling like you can fully step into and engage in like a new resolution. You might feel kind of stuck in a rut and you don't know how to move yourself out of it. Like maybe you feel that you're in too deep and making changes towards something else that you desire would be too far-fetched, that you could have like a sense of overwhelm or disparity, like a lack of like hope or confidence in yourself. Like if, for instance, if you wanted to lose 30 or 40 pounds and you want to feel really light and energized to like live your life more fully, that you could actually just be way too daunting. And you just might not know how to get there, whether it's too daunting or not, but just not knowing what kind of plan or structure action steps to take to create what is possible for you. Which these things are all super understandable, that basically there isn't like a lack of information available to us. We live in like a super informed time, and that in itself can actually just add to the sense of overwhelm and confusion because we have so many things vying for our attention and our focus that it can actually hold us back from really making progress forward of like what we're living into in our intention. There could also be a lack of motivation or just a sense of knowing that your motivation will eventually wear out and dissipate as it has in the past, which is common. Just something that happens. Motivation isn't meant to always be ready and accessible and available to us. You could have a sense or feeling that you know you want to make changes, but those won't last either, which can bring us back to the underlying feelings of mistrust or just knowing there's an unlikelihood of things maintaining. So it's just kind of like the story of most diets that you take on. It's like, oh, you're super amped up to do this new diet, and you change your diet, and you can buy all the best groceries, but then within, you know, a couple of weeks or a month, you're kind of like falling back into your old habits, and your weight comes back, and it's like unattainable, or it's not able to be maintained. So it's like one of the major underpinnings of what keeps us from stepping into higher, more evolved versions of ourselves is our ego. And the ego has its roles and its place, and it actually can assist us to give us traction into our growth and our transformation. So it's not like an entirely a terrible or a bad thing, but it basically is what challenges us. And the ego operates on a mode of survival, not on a track to evolve and thrive as what we're working for as an experience. So basically the ego wants to remain safe. It wants to be closed off and restricted and held within a small space, a little container. Just as like the reptilian brain that like wants to maintain this like tiny little kind of safe little corridor. And so it avoids all change, growth, anything uncomfortable. It wants to keep and maintain the status quo. So the ego is basically going to come up with all kinds of strategies and manipulation basically to sabotage your growth. And it's tricky. And the ego can get super, super tricky and more refined and cunning the more refined and cunning you become to overwrite some of the ego. So essentially, it's not something that will necessarily be easy to break through. And this ego shows up on an individual level in our own like unique individual ways in our life and as a collective level. So there can be a bigger, greater collective ego wanting to hold us back from a bigger collective evolution as well. So it's not like it's something that's just a complete personal story. It's something that we have as a level for our bigger field of consciousness as well, and no one's immune from it. So what do we do? First, it's helpful to prepare for what you can't predict that's going to show up with any ego backlashes or any struggles or ways that you'll be blocked from your intentions. So whatever you know is going to show up for yourself, get really clear on that and specifically write it out and maybe journal about it or like kind of just like bring that to your awareness of like understanding, hey, like I know this is going to happen. And then you can create a very clarify a really specific strategy to have to get around it. And so making the strategy really clear and concise and easy when you know when your ego is going to show up in a specific way. So an example could be you want to lose 10 pounds and feel really strong and energized and light. And you know that one of your tendencies that prevents you from losing these 10 pounds is you love to eat coconutless ice cream around 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And so your new strategy, something super easy that's not going to be overwhelming or too hard or too big of a jump, can be to have put some frozen bananas in your freezer. And so when you get a craving for this ice cream, Instead, you can just put the bananas in your blender and blend them up into this, like basically an ice cream treat, but it's, like, way healthier than actually having ice cream. And just put a little cinnamon on that and have that rather than, like, a half pint of, like, Ben and Jerry's or whatever else you would otherwise go to. And so it's a small little step that still keeps you somewhat satisfied. It's not overwhelming or too stressful to completely cut out ice cream from your life forever. But instead, it's like you're making a step in the small direction of towards your living your intention of feeling more strong and energized and lighter in your body. And then second, when you create really clear intentions with your resolution, for you to be really specific on why you are changing and what the desired outcome feels like. And so this can kind of be considered your want, like what it is that you want from your core. And so when you feel, like, tripped up, you're feeling sabotaged, you're feeling like you're being held back, you're hitting a wall, whatever it is, it's like you're holding you, just feel into your want, into that space that you created of what it feels like to be accessing that deeper desire of your being. And when you tap into that feeling of that higher state, you realign with your intention. And that feeling can always be available to you. And you can craft that feeling internally. So as far as basic everyday action steps, what I say is it's super important to have really regular, consistent movement towards the desired outcome that you can live into every day. And so basically, as I coach in my 10-week program through the yoga health coaching, what I do is I follow a very basic formula. With one of the main structures on living through a daily series. It's called the Reminder Habit Reward Formulation from BJ Fogg, I work with a couple of different habit gurus or these guys that have studied habit change through. One of them is James Clear, and I think he was a professor at Yale, and he works very much with the human behavior and how we actually make changes in our habits and changes in our goals and change our identity. So I work really closely with these kind of basic formulations on how we can actually make the changes to live the practices that we want to live and become the people or create the things that we want to manifest in our life. And so one of these basic structures is called basically the Reminder Habit Reward Formula. And so it's like a super easy sequence that's super obtainable for everyone every day and something for you to do on a regular, consistent basis. And what it is a place of daily action. You actually are letting go of this big vision and your big dream, and instead of you're kind of stepping away from that and just putting it out into the cosmos, and then you're starting to step into it in this very consistent little tiny way each day. And so this shift of stepping into the small habits, it releases the sense of stress and overwhelm that can actually block you from manifesting your vision. Because with that big gap of, losing 20 pounds, you're letting go of the overwhelm of how do I get there, and instead you're just going to start stepping into the movement and the momentum of living into it. So as you release the big picture goal and start living into it with your everyday action as an intention, the action can be one small thing or a series of different actions in alignment with a greater purpose. And the main formula to follow is to create a reminder, which is like a cue or a trigger to make the action or the new practice happen. And so this reminder or trigger, the more stable and consistent that it is, it's the more likely you are to remember to do your new habit. So whatever is, and I go into greater detail and depth with this, but just for the sake of time, I'll give you an example of a regular reminder, a trigger of something that you do every day would be that you get out of bed. Or maybe it's something and it's when the sun comes up or when the sun goes down or when I get home from work at 5:30 or when I brush my teeth. And so if brushing your teeth is your reminder, you tie your new habit into that action of brushing your teeth. And that can be a 5-minute meditation, and that's your new practice. And then after you successfully complete that very easy, obtainable new habit, you give yourself a reward. And the reward helps to kind of basically soften and ease the ego. And you're basically accessing the very like primal center regions of the brain and releasing brain chemistry to kind of create this like sense of like pleasure and enjoyment in your experience. And so you're like, as you're accessing this inner region that wants to stay small and safe, you're rewarding with this very positive feeling to like ease yourself into making more consistent change. So when you make the habit or new practice super small and achievable, you can also develop lots of consistency and repetition. And this is super important. So the repetitive practice over time is what will create change. So as you consistently and regularly do something, it starts to become more automatic. And when it automates, it becomes a regular action or way of living for you. And it will become something of persistent, regular action. It becomes essentially kind of an expression of who you are. So it's this consistency and this repetition over time that will change you more into who you want to become or what it is you want to achieve. And so you can examine this, a lot of different habits you have, and just notice that they might have come from a place that essentially wasn't originally natural to you, but they actually took a while to take on. And so just even if you think about brushing your teeth, like you would never really skip brushing your teeth today. But when you were 4 years old or 5 years old, it was like you had to be consistently, repetitively told to brush your teeth before you go to bed. And now it's become something automated. It's just something you do and you enjoy having clean teeth. So as your habit becomes more regular, you can slowly increase it to push further into your growing edge. So first you create the consistency with these like really small, little easy habits. And then as it becomes more regular and easier, you can slowly expand upon it to help it grow and help yourself grow. So an example, to go back to the creating the meditation practice, is you just start out with something super easy, like 2 minutes a day. So it's very obtainable for you. And you tie it to a very consistent or regular reminder, such as brushing your teeth in the morning or after your morning shower. And then after you take a shower and you get dressed, you go sit on your cushion for 2 minutes, and if you succeed, you give yourself a reward, such as a star on your calendar, a chart you might make, or 5 extra minutes to read the morning paper, or you might let yourself, like, whatever, like, scroll around on Instagram, whatever feels good to you as a reward for doing your meditation. And then as you consistently get more repetitive with that, if you can achieve that 5 days out of the week for 1 week, and the next week you do it again for 5 weeks and it becomes easier and more automated, then you increase the meditation by about 2 more minutes. And essentially just keep on growing until you have a 20-minute meditation practice or a 30-minute meditation practice, and becomes more automated and more of a regular, consistent habit that you have, until not only do you become a person who meditates, but you might tie into this greater desire that you have of someone that lives more from their heart, or someone that has greater access to conscious creativity, or being a channel for the divine, or whatever it is. But you're basically focusing on that really specific small little habit with your reminder, your cue, and then your reward. So for a bigger and more kind of like Ayurvedic approach, I basically work with these like habit formulas and a bunch of other kind of behavioral things that arise when you're working on creating a new you or new resolutions or new goals. And then I also work with 10 very specific main Ayurveda practices in my 10-week program that I call Soul Body Bliss. And so basically like these 10 Ayurvedic practices help you live a healthier, more energized life that's just super in sync with nature and in balance with your mind, body, and spirit. Just as we examined in inquiry practice at the beginning of the call, that these Ayurveda practices are keeping all of that in mind, that you're in tune with your, not only your physical body, but your breath body, the pranamaya kosha, the energy body, the manamaya kosha, your thought and emotional body, your kind of place where you process and create your data is processed, and you have your regular kind of habitual thoughts and thought habits, patterns, things like that. And then your intuitive and higher intelligence body, your jnanamaya kosha, in your Ananda Maya Kosha, your bliss body. It's like all of these things are important for creating like optimal health in your life. So these basic practices that I recommend for you to focus on, they also just help with all your overarching health and wellness that you desire. And then they work for everyone across the board, basically on any like imbalance or disease or kind of like personal struggle that you're having or what you're hoping is stepping to like reach into. So if you like want to lose 10 pounds, all 10 of these Ayurvedic practices are going to assist you in an all-encompassing way, looking at the entirety of your being and how you'll get into that goal. And so regardless of what the goal is. And even if the goal isn't specifically related to health, like say you want to double your business, or you want to write a book, or you want to go on this quest to like travel around the world and experience different cultures, or kind of whatever it is, these 10 practices are still, I would say, super essential for your success, and basically keeping you strong, grounded, centered, clear, strengthening your container, and basically strengthening that capacity for like spirit, inspiration, creativity, and consciousness to move through you and be expressed by you. So even if you want to write a book, and you know, if you're not able to get enough sleep at night, or you're not eating the proper foods, the proper diet, or you're just like not in sync with like the rhythms of nature, you're not going to be able to access that higher place within yourself, or potentially you're just going to burn out and not be able to write the book. It's not going to get written. Or if you're trying to lose the 10 pounds and all you focus on is just going to the gym without having like a pulsation of rest and doing the proper exercise that's meant for you and dipping into your meditative practice and eating a plant-based diet and all these other habits, that basically you're not going to optimize your downtime, your deep nourishment. And the same thing is you're going to burn out and you're not going to meet your goal of losing your 10 pounds. So the basic series of like living into this Ayurveda wisdom that I want to recommend to you, just to kind of give you a really blanket generalization during this call, is that you're going to basically sync up and fall into an alignment with the natural bigger energies that are in flow throughout every day, every month, and every season. So it's like these big natural energies that are just in this constant fluctuation every day and with the lunar cycle and then through the year and through your lifetime. And so you're getting synced up with this. You're eating your meals in alignment with these like this energetic flow, your daily schedule, your dinacharya, we call it. Your basic morning and evening rituals, how you're waking up in the morning, how you're going to sleep at night, how you're tuning to like the qualities and the energy of the night, and what your sleep schedule is, just getting into a great attunement with these energies. An example of it is just how you rest in the evening. And so you work during the day, and then in the evening as the sun winds down, you're sinking into that kapha time of day, and you're getting the rest and the nourishment and building your ojas, your kind of your glow and your immunity, and you're presencing the importance of experiencing like pleasure within each and every day, of that like rest and connectivity and just kind of like yumminess, and how important that is for your health. And then formulating kind of an evening ritual to help you go into bed and like ease into a state of rest, and then going to sleep early and getting really deep rest earlier in the night when it's most optimal for us to sleep. So you're sleeping deeply and you're cultivating that as a practice, and then waking up early in the morning, feeling refreshed and energized and ready to step into the day. And even part of your morning wake up can be attuning into your place in the world as a sense of like where you are as an expression of like the micro and the macro of like who you are, this individual, and from a cosmic level. And like letting that pulse you into the day of like how you're starting the day, what you're inspired by, what's living through you from your heart and your soul, and what your morning ritual looks like with that. Perhaps it includes a meditation practice, and a morning movement, a breath practice. And so another practice that I advocate is just making sure that when you wake up and you attune to that and to your place and your intention for the day and what you're living into and cultivating that feeling and scraping your tongue is a very basic Ayurvedic practice, going to the bathroom and making sure you have a full bowel movement and your digestive process is working well, and then sitting down and having a full glass of water to flush all of your channels, doing a meditation and having a meditation practice for or wherever that fits in for you, and making sure that your meditation practice serves you, that you're meditating in a way that helps you experience what it is you desire, what your needs are to gain from meditation, and then moving into your exercise or movement and opening up your breath body, that prana maya kosha, and breathing into your energy body and letting that sink in with and connect your mental and emotional body with your physical body through the breath. And so doing movement, doing yoga asana, going for a walk, whatever, for 10 or 20 minutes every morning, and to basically increase the access of intelligence you have throughout your entire being to make better choices and live in greater alignment throughout the day. And then sitting down and have a really great breakfast. And I work mainly with advocating a plant-based diet, and that can show up in all kinds of ways. And just as with any of these practices, there's like no end in the trajectory. So maybe be incorporating more of your local herbs or plants that you grow in your house, or just getting some fresh veggies from the farmer's market or whatever it is, but eating lots of fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds every day, and eating with healthy habits, eating in a way that serves you to your best. It's for optimal digestion, but just like as your relationship with your food, and living in this orientation of like the food is a gift from the earth to serve you in this kind of abundant mindset that we can have. And eating in a calm, relaxed manner, being very grounded and present with your food. And then proper self-care. And how we care for ourselves is so fundamentally important on how we perceive the world and our ability to also care for others. Whether that means direct care, like if you have children or aging parents or anything like that, but then also your services that you offer to the world. You know, if you're someone such as myself, it's like you're, whatever you're wanting to share and put out there through your job or your creative endeavors or your art, whatever you're offering. But the more you care for yourself and especially take care of your own sense organs, the more able you are to produce and serve and give out and express what it is that you're called to give and share and express. So these being like really essentially important practices. And so all of these kind of 10 basic Ayurvedic habits that I'm suggesting to you are something to serve you potentially for your New Year's resolution, but then also as your greater health and capacity as a whole. And so if you have any specific things that you're working on for your health, any specific goals that you have, if you'd like me to give you some insight on what those habits, what specific practices I would suggest to you, you can definitely let me know what it is that you're thinking of, and either just book a 30-minute strategy session or send me a message on email or Facebook, because I'm more than happy to explore that with you. And, yeah, that's essentially what I have for the call for today, is just really tapping into what it is that you're desiring, what you're wanting to become, what your new intention is, and letting it be from a place not only from just a mental idea or thought or not something just purely physical, but letting it be something that comes from all different layers of our being. And is centered within our core, within our heart, and it's in like a greater alignment of who we're wanting to become from our higher self or what we're evolving into and how we can support ourselves further and better and more with that. And on that note, in the last aspect of what I think is really incredibly important is having support, being connected with other people through your personal growth and your evolution. Having a conscious community or a partner or certain relationships or whatever it is that not only support you, but you're inspired by them growing and changing and stepping into their kind of new evolutionary self as well. Because, A, it's easy to get tripped up. Like you said, like the ego is going to show up and have these strategies to hold us back or knock us down. And when that happens, it's really nice to be reminded and inspired or supported by other people or even guided in a way. And the second part is it's just like more momentum. It's more of that collective energy. Like as we can feel so many people this past week and today are riding this big wave and like cruising in this portal of what New Year's is, this new resolution. Of like we're starting out new and fresh and we have this like momentum to like step forward stronger and bigger into more of who we want to be or what we want to achieve or experience. And so to maintain that collective energy is to find yourself cultivating these relationships and stepping into a space of doing that with more people, partners, friendships, whatever it is. And it's something that I found to be incredibly helpful through my own growth work and working with like the Yoga Healer Group, any sort of spiritual sangha that you're a part of, it's the same concept. And then same thing for In My 10-Week Program. It's like we have a collective of people going through this, showing up together on their calls and through the Facebook community, that it's like it's something that you're doing together and it's a shared field of resonance. And as one person steps up higher, everyone can feed into that and step up higher, and it continually just rolls upon itself. It's like the momentum and that energy just grows and lifts everyone as a whole. And we don't rise alone, we all rise together. It's something super important to remember. So thank you for that, and I'm going to unmute the lines and see if anyone has any questions. So does anybody have any questions or comments they want to add in? And just under 1 hour. Awesome. Well, thank you all for being here today. I'm super excited to share this kind of fun little exercise with you. And like I said, if you have any questions on ways you think you can specifically be helped or guided, just let me know. And I offer the 30-minute strategy session to anyone that came to the call or listened to the recording as a free offering. I do 10 of them for free after each call. And my next course, the 10-week Soul Body Bliss course, is starting 1 week from today on Wednesday, January 13th. So the enrollment for that will be open up until Monday night. So if you're curious about it, let me know. Drop me a line. We have room for a couple more to join, and I'd love for you to come in. All right, thanks so much. Happy New Year. Much love and many blessings. Bye.